to be with four songs today, choir. Appreciate that, Faith and Chris and everyone, and had a part in those two specials. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this morning we're going to be talking about goodness. How many are good out here this morning? We have a lot of good people here. Of course you are, right? You're all good. We're all good. It's been said that pastors are paid to be good, right? And everybody else is good for nothing. And that's because we're paid to be good. But I'm just going to say all of you good people. I love you. I appreciate being your pastor. And I appreciate these messages on fruit of the Spirit as we look at each one individually. Because if we can live up to the fruit of the Spirit, we are good people, right? In the sight of God, righteous in all ways. But, you know, every day we got to work on it. We have to work on it. We have to seek God's guidance. And when we're looking at goodness, what determines the value of something? You ever thought about that? What determines the value of something? You know, a child may think a quarter is worth more than a dollar. You ever notice that? Because of the quarter is shiny and it's pretty. Or that a candy bar is worth more than a handful of dollar bills because they want the candy more. So what determines the value of something? Or maybe we have things that we considerable that's valuable, like a house. So suppose that a person's house gets on fire. What is probably the number one thing that they're going to run into that house to get? Probably a box full of pictures. Because those pictures have value to them. Now, it might not be valuable to you, but it is to them. If it was your house, those pictures would be valuable to you, and you would want to save them. So, how do we determine the value of something? So, during the past few weeks, we've looked at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and considered the fruit of the Spirit. We have talked about some very valuable fruit, like faithfulness, patience, or long-suffering, and we've talked about gentleness. But what about goodness? Goodness, along with patience and kindness, concern people's relationship with others. These three, patience, kindness, and goodness, concern a believer's relationship with each other. So it's reaching out to do good to others, even if they don't deserve it. Have you ever tried to be kind and good to people when they don't deserve it, but you do it anyway because it's the right thing to do? Goodness does not react to evil, but absorbs the offense and responds with positive action. Now, that's what Paul is describing what goodness is. So I'm afraid that people just don't seem to very committed to the idea of goodness anymore. When you think about goodness as a whole across the world itself, while love and joy and peace step to the plate to hit home runs, goodness does its best to get on first base sometimes. And it seems that goodness is just not considered important, even desirable today. So I hope this morning that you and I will realize that goodness is a very valuable, important fruit of the Spirit. And I hope that during these series that you've been going back and reading these two verses, and as you've been praying in your devotional time, the Lord has kind of pointed some of these areas out to you. I know he has me as I've been reading and studying and concentrating on these fruit of the Spirit. Because if we can produce each one of these, we're headed towards maturity in our life, something that God wants us. He said, walk by the Spirit. If we're going to talk it, let's walk it. So first of all, goodness is doing the right thing. And I want to go a little bit further than that. And it's also doing what's right and what's reason. So one of the problems with goodness is the same problem as we have with love. Now, we haven't talked about love yet. See, I'm not going in order, but I'm kind of moving around as I feel led to preach on different ones, not as Paul wrote them down, but as I feel that as we need to see each one individually in our own lives. But the word good is used so many ways, just as we use the word love. See, we love our children. How many of you love your children? Remember what'd you say most of the time? Remember what Mark said last night in his message, talking about Rhett Walker? He said, this is my son. I love him. If you do anything or harm in any way, I'm going to hurt you. He said that several times, didn't he? So I think he meant business, didn't he? So evidently he loves Rhett, his son. We love apple pie. And what goes along with apple pie? Chevrolet. Apple pie and Chevrolet. And we love beautiful sunset. But each of us loves entirely, our love is entirely different for different things, isn't it? In the same way with the word good, we say, I had a good meal. Or, I met a good friend. Or, have you ever heard, I have people say this. I've heard people say, I've had a good life. But I've heard people say, I've had a good cry. And sometimes we need a good cry. And they're different, aren't they? They're all different. So let's look at how the word good is used in the Bible. For instance, we read in the opening chapter of Genesis that God created heavens and the earth. Then he created the sea and the air and the ground. Okay? After each creation, God looked at it and said, what? It is good. You know, everything that God has ever made is good. We just come along and file it up sometimes, don't we? Trying to make it better or different or something. But whatever God made, he called it good, and it is good. And what does that mean? It means that when God looked at what he had done, he was pleased with it. So maybe we could say goodness means something that pleases God. That goodness is something that pleases God. Or maybe we could go a step further and say a good person is a person who is pleasing God. I like that too. So the Bible also tells us that God is good. Now, that makes God good. Well, God is pure. God is holy. And thank goodness, he is forgiving. John 3:16 said, "For God gave His only begotten Son, so He gave His only begotten Son, so that we might be forgiven of our sins, so that we might have eternal life." So God forgives. I talked with a 10-year-old last night. Hadn't come to the invitation yet. And I was motioned to come back to where we was counseling. And here this, and the Black Sisters were instrumental in getting someone to come back. And they called me to come back there and talk with her. And she sat there. And the first thing I asked her, I said, "Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" She said, "Yes, I'm saved. I've been baptized." But she said, "You know what? There's just something going on in my life, and I don't know what it is." And I said, "Well, I know somebody that does know, and it's the Lord. Let's talk about it and let's pray about that." So we talked and we prayed, And I said, you know, sometimes Satan, the devil, puts those things in your mind. Now, if God hadn't revealed it to you, more than likely you hadn't done anything that you ought to be guilty for. And we talked about some things. Yes, she tries to be obedient as a child, and a lot of things we talked about. So I said, you know, we'll just pray that God just binds Satan from your life, and you just go to God and pray and have him help you to get rid of this guilty so that you can have a peace of passage of understanding in your life. And I talked a little while and shared scriptures and so forth to help her understand that, you know, even though she don't know what's going on inside, God does, and he's going to help her to look to the positive side of her Christianity. We prayed and everything, and I thought, okay, everything's good. Well, she reached on and just put the biggest old hug on me. She said, I feel good now. So in that's goodness, you know, in our life, how God works out the good for the things that maybe we harbor in our heart that Satan wants to kind of drag us down. But God is good, isn't he? He is good. He's pure, he's holy, he's forgiving, he's generous. So therefore, if we're good people, then all the characteristics should be true of us too. If God is good and all these characteristics are right or good, then we're good people as well. One night during an evangelistic meeting, a paralyzed man was wheeled down to the altar. And right before the beginning of the service, the music director looked at this paralytic and he asked him, he said, what's your favorite song? And whatever it is, we'll sing it. You know what he said? Count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. There was no self-pity from the handicapped man, just a vivid sense of the goodness of God. Did you notice one of the anonymous, the group that sang last night? Did you hear his testimony saying that, you know, God is good, God had been good for him, even though he was standing there under crutches, holding a guitar, with one leg, and he was saying, God is good. He brought him out of that terrible wreck that he was in when he was a teenager, spared his life, and he had given up on himself. You heard his testimony? He had given up on himself. God said, I'm not through with you. I got more for you to do. And there he stood last night, singing and praising God for his goodness. So that's what goodness is. And this is the lesson of the Beatitude when it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, the paralytic is surely an heir of greater part of the earth than a millionaire. You think about it. Meekness is, in this sense is power. It's not weakness, but it's power. That's what meekness is. The power to feel satisfied with what God gives. Power not to merely endure, but to enjoy the fullness and to use it for His honor and glory. And you know what? That's what this young man was doing. He's using his life for God's honor and glory last night in his testimony. So let me give you another definition of goodness. And it's a pretty simple definition. And if you remember it, I think you'll begin to see the value of goodness, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And here it is. Goodness is doing the right thing for the right reasons. We always want to do the right thing for the right reasons. But now I suppose we could do the right thing for the wrong reason. Could we? Or suppose that we could do the wrong thing for the right reason. But the best thing to do is goodness is doing the right thing for the right reason. Now let's look at something else now, ways to show goodness. Going back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about good tree and he talks about the bad tree. He says that the good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit, in Matthew 7:17. And then he goes on to say, the good tree cannot bear bad fruit. The good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and the bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Then he says, if the good tree does not produce good fruit, we cut it down and throw it into the fire. Then he ends it by saying, by their fruit you will recognize them. So, in the fruit of the Spirit, as if we produce each one of these, see, we're doing good things for the right reason, for the honor and glory for God. So the question is, what kind of fruit are you and I producing in our lives? And as you look at the fruit, do you see goodness, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit? And there it is. Well, here's three ways to show goodness. First of all, we can show goodness by being forgiving. By being forgiving. How many of you have ever had to forgive somebody for some reason, for some wrongdoing? Even though you didn't want to, but you knew it was the right thing to do for the right reason. We all have, haven't we? And that was the right thing to do if we want to honor, glory God with our life. Listen to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men when you sin against you, or when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now here's the catch. If you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now these are frightening verses, aren't they? If we're not willing to forgive a person or wronged us, or whatever the situation might be, is our Heavenly Father obligated to forgive us, even though He sent His Son into the world to forgive us of our sins? See, He's looking for the goodness. He's looking for the fruit of the Spirit. And if we call ourselves Christians in this day and time, which is, it's hard to live a Christian life, isn't it, in this world today. It's hard for Christians. It's not an easy task. But we must be reminded, if we want to honor and glorify God with our lives, then that's something we must be willing to do if we really and truly love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. So if I go around holding grudges, then I won't receive the forgiveness of God, because it's blocked by an unforgiving spirit. So the first step is to do what's right for the right reason and become forgiving as God is forgiving. The second step is purity. We cannot display goodness by being morally pure. Now, that's a counterculture, because our culture embraces what? Impurity. And it's constantly telling us that everything or everybody is doing it. How many of you heard that? I've heard that a lot of times in my life. Everybody's doing it, so it must be okay. Well, no, it's not. It doesn't line up with what God says at all. Have you noticed how we've shifted, even in the last few years, in our nation or in the world itself? Remember Gary Hart? How many of you remember Gary Hart? He ran for president when? Back in the 1980s. He ran for president back in 1980s, but withdrew his candidacy when it was revealed that he had an extramarital affair. And it's pretty much certain that in the 1980s, that we would not vote for a candidate who engaged in an extramarital affair. Is that right? Am I correct there? But recently, not too awful long ago, Gary Hart said, our nation has matured. Now this is what he said. Our nation has matured, and now we freely elect candidates who have had extramarital affairs. That was his statement. Dolly Parton once said, marital unfaithfulness is okay as long as no one gets hurt. Raquel Welch once said, men have sexual flings, and it's okay, just expect it. But it's not. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that anywhere, does it? It didn't say it in my Bible. And if you're going to be a good person, you got to be a pure person. You know, Paul talks about that. Our mind, our soul, our heart needs to be pure, keeping your life pure before the Lord. Now, let's look at a third thing that shows goodness through graciousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, when we are in Christ, what happens? We become a new creation. That means old things have passed away, or means have gone. The Lord has taken all that mulky stuff out of our lives and replaced it with something good. That means we're a new creation. Now, why are we new? We're new because God has changed us. Robert Keller wrote, It is a good person, the gracious soul, the generous heart who helps the downtrodden. You know, in the Gospel of John, when he questioned Jesus about, you know, who he is, his identity, are you really the Son of God? And he sent the disciples to Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Son of God? And Jesus said, you go tell John that I've come for the lowly in heart, the downtrodden. I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. Yes, I am truly the Son of God. And you know what? That was good enough for John, wasn't it? Because he was getting ready to be beheaded. He was being ready to become a martyr. And John recognized, yes, he is truly good. God is good. Now, others may never know the goodness that we often portray. You know, you perform good acts. No one may ever knew that you did them, right? You may have never, heard anybody say to you, thank you. But here's the promise. When you're gracious, good to others, one day you will hear the voice of the Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we heard the song, thank you, you know, being a witness and people being saved through your witness to them and so forth. You know, you might not see that here on earth. You might not ever hear that on earth. But according to the song, when you get to heaven, people will be lined up. When you enter the gates of heaven, they'll be lining up and say, thank you for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to me. So you may not ever hear it here on earth, the goodness that your life produces through the fruit of the Spirit. But one of these days you will. And, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself says thank you to you, good and faithful servants, it'll be worth it all, won't it? Amen? It'll be worth it all. Someone said, you'll never look more like God than when you give of yourself. Say, give of yourself because it is good. It's a good thing to do, and for the right reasons as well. Well, after having said all of this about goodness, let me say this final thing. Goodness will never get us into heaven. Okay, I've been talking about goodness here all morning. But you know what? Goodness will never get us into heaven. We will never be good enough to get into heaven. It is only through the mercy and grace of God that we can be saved. But you know what? While we're, you know, Paul says, work out your salvation. So along the way, work out these fruit of the Spirit in your life. And the goodness will show through your life, especially when you do it for the glory of God. So this morning, you know, we give you an opportunity to receive forgiveness of sin. And Mark last night, he shared about in his message about salvation and so forth, and give a little bit different twist than that I'd heard before about salvation. But you know, when it comes to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we got to confess our sin. We've got to repent of our sin to receive Jesus Christ. And we know that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have eternal life. Because with the heart we make a decision, with the lips we confess unto Jesus Christ that he is Lord and Savior. And in verse 13 it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And it is simple as that. It is simple as that. But there has to be a confession. There has to be a repentance, a remorse, just like Peter did when he denied Christ. He was sorrowful, and he knew he did wrong. And we ought to step up and say, you know, I'm going to do what's right for the right reasons and let the goodness in my life flow through to honor the Lord in my life. So when you think about all of these fruit of the Spirit, how they are very important for us as Christians, and especially in the day and time of which we're living. We got to take a stand for what is good, what is right in the sight of God, in order for us to be in right standing with Him, not only as individual, but as a nation and as a world. Because you know why? Because He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And one of these days, the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess. Those who reject Him now, one of these days, the whole world will recognize that He is truly God, that God is good. Even in the midst of a turmoil and in the sin in the world, He is good. Because He sent His only begotten Son because of our wretched life. And that's the positive side of salvation, that we have the promise of eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the message that You give us through Your Word. And Lord, the next step is for us to be willing to live the life of the fruit of the Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You did send Your only begotten Son into this world. And Lord, for those here that already have committed their life to You, and they know down deep in heart that they have a personal relationship with You, Lord, the steps in our life are very important, how we mature as Christians. And fruit of the Spirit, the love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control, Lord, all of these are very vital for our Christian growth. And Lord, I just pray that any of these, as we go through this series of the fruit of the Spirit, that we can identify and You will point out in our lives which one that we really need to focus on, which one that is lacking in our life. Lord, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is at work. And we thank You that Your Holy Spirit is here this morning. And You are speaking to each one of us individually because You are a personal God. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You're willing to take the time to point out the areas in our life that needs revision, that needs correcting, that needs changing, so we can walk in the newness of life. We praise You and we thank You, Lord, for everything that You do in our life. And we thank You for the response of this invitation, Lord, that You have touched this morning or this week in our daily devotion or prayer time, that, Lord, are willing to be honest with themselves, to be honest with You, that we all need to walk closer to You. We praise You and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation